going to be a matter of, you know, several weeks to few months for sure.
He's talking about how long the coronavirus might remain a major problem in the United States. This is Monday, the 16th of March, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melvin in Washington. Also coming your way, new traveler bans cause massive crowding at some major U.S. airports. We'll take you to Rome, where Italians are suffering through a quarantine for the entire country. And if you needed another thing to worry about, you'll hear about ominous signals from melting glaciers. All that and more coming your way on VOA Asia. The director of the U.S. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases said the COVID-19 virus, which has brought many ways of life for many around the entire globe to a slowdown or a halt, will most likely be around for a little while, at least in the United States. Dr. Anthony Fauci on the ABC program this week said the intensity of the virus has curbed where it began, in China.
They went to their peak and they are coming down right now. There were, just a day or so ago, 11 new cases in China, which is minuscule compared to where it was. Korea is starting to flatten and maybe come down a little. If you look at that bracket, all of that was a couple of months, a month and a half for China, and about the same. Although you can't predict accurately, the way you interfere with that and not only diminish the peak of the curve, but even perhaps the duration, depends on the effectiveness in which you do the kinds of controls that we've been talking about, the containment and the mitigation.
However, Fauci said the scientific focus will remain on China even as the epidemic there ebbs.
China really dramatically did what we call social distancing. They just shut down the country. As they start getting back to normal personal interaction, I hope we don't see the second blip, but it's possible. So we're looking, you know, favorably at the fact that China is coming down, but we also want to look carefully to see what happens when they resume normal life. And that's one of the things that we're interested in. Hopefully it'll stay down, but it possibly could come back up.
There has been some criticism about U.S. government and medical officials overreacting by mandating massive shutdowns that have brought much of the world's economy to a standstill. Fauci will stand with this decision that has been made.
What I like to see is when people look at what we're doing and say you're overreacting. For me, the dynamics and the history of outbreaks is you are never where you think you are with the, if you think you're in line with the outbreak, you're already 3 weeks behind. So you got to be almost overreacting a bit to keep up with it.
Speaking on NBC's Meet the Press, Fauci said Americans should be prepared that they're going to have to hunker down significantly more than we as a country are doing. Long wait times and panic were seen at airports across the United States as authorities work under new regulations imposed to deal with the spread of the novel coronavirus. U.S. nationals and permanent residents who are returning from countries that are part of a new travel ban are being required to undergo additional screening and questioning to determine if they can return to their communities. DHS officials said if travelers are not required to seek medical help, they'll be sent home and will spend 2 weeks in self-quarantine. Foreign nationals living in the U.S. who have traveled to countries on the ban, however, will not be permitted to return to the United States. They would have to travel to a country not included in the ban, and wait out the 2 week period of self-quarantine before traveling to the U.S. President Donald Trump tweeted Sunday, "We're doing very precise medical screenings at our airports. Pardon the interruptions and delays. We're moving as quickly as possible, but it's very important that we be vigilant and careful." As we continue on VOA Asia, you'll hear about what's happening in other countries now being hit hard by the pandemic. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now at voanews.com. A landmark settlement in a Cambodian land grab falls short for many villages. The World Bank says poverty, inequality in Thailand is on the rise. A prominent pro-democracy campaigner and founder of Hong Kong's mass peaceful movement is released from prison, vowing to continue his fight for democracy. Taiwan reports 6 new cases of the coronavirus Sunday, all imported and marking the biggest daily rise of infections in people who had returned to the island from countries including Spain and Japan, bringing its total tally to 59. You are listening to VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. Italy on Sunday reported a one-day record death toll, and leaders warned of a bed and artificial respirator shortage in the European epicenter of the coronavirus pandemic. Official data showed the number of fatalities shooting up by 368 to 1,809, more than half of all of the cases recorded outside China. The Vatican took the drastic step of canceling Easter week celebrations that were set to begin on April 5th as the country of 60 million people braced for an extended crisis. Sabrina Castelfranco has more on that from Rome.
It will be a very different Holy Week for the faithful this year, particularly for those in Rome. No one will be able to attend any of the services due to the coronavirus outbreak. The large crowds in St. Peter's Square will not be possible this year. A note on the website of the Prefecture of the Pontifical Household that appeared late Saturday said the faithful will be able to follow the events as they are streamed on the internet or carried on television, but no one will be able to actively participate. Holy Week is normally one of the busiest times of the year for Pope Francis, with tens of thousands of people arriving from all over the world to join in celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. It is still unclear how the services will be held by the Pope or where exactly, as the Vatican is still to provide further details. Holy Week services begin on Palm Sunday, which marks Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Other important services include Holy Thursday Mass, when the oils are blessed. Normally on that day, Pope Francis washes the feet of prisoners, but this is unlikely to happen this year. The Lord's Passion service is normally held in St. Peter's Basilica on Good Friday, followed by the Way of the Cross around Rome's ancient Colosseum. This too is likely to be cancelled or will take place without public participation. Pope Francis will still be giving his twice-yearly Urbi et Orbi blessing on Easter Sunday. Italian authorities locked down the entire country last Monday as the death toll from the coronavirus outbreak continues to soar. There are currently more than 21,000 positive cases in the country, and the death toll has reached 1,441. Churches in Rome have been reopened, but all masses are cancelled to avoid people gathering in one place. Sabina Castelfranco for VOA News.
Only occasional joggers and a few locals carrying grocery bags could be seen on the streets of Rome on a sunny afternoon of Italy's first weekend under effective lockdown. Milan's Lombardy region governor, Attilio Fontana, said the situation in areas around Italy's financial capital was getting worse. The Lombardy region has recorded 1,218 of the deaths officially attributed to COVID-19 over the past 3 weeks, more than the rest of Europe combined. The region of 10 million people, slightly smaller but more economically productive than neighboring Switzerland to the north, also has 13,272 reported infections and 767 people in intensive care. Health authorities in Spain say deaths from the coronavirus there have more than doubled in 24 hours, while total infections approached 8,000. The health ministry said Spain has recorded 288 deaths since the start of the pandemic, up from 136 on Saturday. The European Union nation has almost 8,000 infections, up from 5,700 on Saturday, with around half of them concentrated in the capital of Madrid. A jump comes a day after Spain's government declared a state of emergency and took extraordinary measures to limit movement to commuting to work and necessary errands. It's also closed restaurants, bars, most retail shops, and reduced public transport. In South Korea, the president has declared southeastern parts of that country hit hard by the coronavirus outbreak as special disaster zones. That's a designation that makes residents there eligible for emergency relief, tax benefits, and other state financial support. The Daegu City and some areas in the southeastern Yangsan province were declared disaster zones. The first time South Korea has declared any area a special disaster zone due to an infectious disease. South Korea has so far reported over 8,000 coronavirus cases and 72 deaths. In Australia, the Prime Minister says all travelers arriving in the country will have to self-isolate for 14 days to try to stem the spread of the virus. Prime Minister Scott Morrison made the announcement Sunday, saying in Sydney that the measures are indefinite and will be reviewed periodically. A memorial to commemorate the first anniversary of the deadly mosque attacks in New Zealand has been cancelled because of fears over the new coronavirus. The government in Wellington has also announced tough quarantine measures trying to stop the spread of the disease. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
51 people died when a gunman attacked two mosques in Christchurch a year ago. The shootings in one of New Zealand's biggest cities were broadcast live on Facebook. Deep scars remain. New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern said her country of 4.5 million had fundamentally changed since the atrocity. New gun laws restrict the number of high-powered weapons, like those used in the attacks. The alleged shooter is expected to go on trial in June. A memorial service scheduled for Sunday has been cancelled because of concerns over the new coronavirus. Ardern said that starting midnight Sunday, almost everyone entering New Zealand must self-isolate to contain the spread of the COVID-19 virus.
We must go hard and we must go early. We must do everything we can to protect the health of New Zealanders. That is exactly why, to tackle this global pandemic, Cabinet made far-reaching and unprecedented decisions today, because these are unprecedented circumstances.
Arrivals into New Zealand from the Pacific Islands will be exempt. The government has said the quarantine measures are the strictest in the world and would be reviewed in 16 days. Ardern also said that no cruise liners would be allowed to dock in her country until June 30. The group representing the cruise industry, the Cruise Association, has insisted the ban on passenger ships is draconian and goes too far. Essential air and ship deliveries will continue as normal, but the economic impact of the restrictions on New Zealand is expected to be severe. Details of a government stimulus package are expected early next week. Phil Mercer in Sydney for VOA News.
And word in that the U.S. Federal Reserve took emergency action Sunday and slashed its benchmark interest rate by a full percentage point to nearly zero, and announced it would purchase more Treasury securities to encourage lending to try to offset the impact of the coronavirus outbreak. All told, the Fed's actions amount to a recognition that the U.S. economy faces its most perilous juncture since the recession ended more than a decade ago. This is VOA Asia. Happening now in Asia, a lingering dispute over Afghanistan's presidential election and an outbreak of coronavirus in the country appear to have complicated further an already troubled effort the United States is making, trying to help find a negotiated end to nearly 19 years of war. Stay up to date with VOA. This is VOA Asia. We are happy you're with us. The United Nations Climate Change Conference ended earlier last December in Madrid. It was the 25th meeting, and participants left with an ominous warning from experts. VOA's Arash Arabasadi reports that melting glaciers today may cause some serious problems tomorrow.
Researchers at this camp overlooking Greenland's Helheim Glacier have some bad news.
This glacier has retreated more than 10 kilometers or so in the last decade or so, from that position far off onto my left to where you see it today.
It was here in 2018 that researchers captured this footage of large chunks of ice breaking away in a process called calving. Scientists like New York University's David Holland measure and observe climate change. This summer, Holland saw record-shattering heat and ice melt.
Large glaciers are retreating. We can detect this with satellite, with effectively cameras in space. And we're seeing a very large signal of melt coming from this one particular glacier out in West Antarctica called Thwaites.
NASA and the European Space Agency, or ESA, released a study in December showing the Greenland ice sheet rapidly melting, having lost nearly 4 trillion metric tons between 1992 and 2018. Holland says a similar fate appears underway in Antarctica.
That glacier is holding back several other glaciers of the West Antarctic ice sheet. So all totaled, it is conceivable, not that it will happen, but it could happen, that up to 3 meters of global sea level could be unleashed onto us.
Cities like Alexandria, Egypt, take countermeasures to slow crashing waves because rising sea levels near ice shelves affect sea levels everywhere. Warmer waters around retreating glaciers like the one in Antarctica expedite the process.
This glacier is perhaps unstable. It is certainly retreating now at a rapid rate. It has raised itself to the point of now, using physics, mathematics, and observation, it's actually credible, plausible, that this thing could cause a major change in sea level.
A study published April in the journal Nature showed glaciers worldwide annually lose 369 billion metric tons of snow and ice. The Greenland ice sheet alone holds enough water to raise sea level by nearly 7.5 meters. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News, Washington.
You're listening to VOA Asia.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see, with links to easily find them. With VOA Asia, also follow radio program hosts VOA Stevenson and VOA Melman. VOA Asia Twitter. We're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia, American Airlines says it plans to cut 75% of its international flights through May 6 and ground nearly all of its wide-body fleet as airlines respond to the global collapse in travel demand due to the coronavirus pandemic. Visit VOA Asia Facebook every day for top stories and great features to see and share. VOA Asia continues. Every year, the Mother Tongue Film Festival, sponsored by the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, showcases films about indigenous cultures that celebrate cultural and linguistic diversity. Most of these films have been made in indigenous languages from all over the world. VOA's Penelope Pulo spoke with curators and filmmakers on how these ancient languages are still an integral part of Aboriginal cultures today.
Panahi Mariluan, a Mapuche lyricist and composer, stars in the music video Pyre, filmed in southern Argentina. Her lyrics are written in the ancestral tongue of the Mapuche people called Mapuzungun. This is one of 21 films, each spotlighting an indigenous language, showcased at the Mother Tongue Film Festival.
Mother Tongue is a more universal concept, and we've been able to work across topics across the world and cover issues like language recovery, transmission across generations, working through platforms like hip-hop or other forms of music and dance and other cultural expressions.
Many of these ancient languages are dying out. Filmmakers want to preserve them. The short film Uuta means whale hunter in the Nootka language in British Columbia, Canada. Filmmaker Chad Charlie is a member of the Nootka Nation. The story is about a young man who becomes the chief of his village, the chief of his tribe. His grandmother walks him through the lessons and the preparations of being that leader.
Auta suwasitsk tupatli ustup patilish anasik nitlak.
There are about 6,000 languages spoken in the world, and communities around the world are feeling various pressures to conform to dominant languages, such as English, Spanish, etc.
Joshua Bell, co-director of Mother Tongue Film Festival, says the event offers a platform to indigenous communities and their languages. Over half of the filmmakers represented at the festival are women, says Amalia Cordova, co-director of the festival.
It's not surprising because the transmission of language is often left to the women and in the domestic space of child rearing. So it's the women who are often tasked with the cultural transmission of the language.
Such is the case for Elsa, the young heroine in the feature film Restless River. Set in the 1940s, the native woman from the Arctic Circle gets pregnant after being assaulted by a white soldier stationed there. Despite facing poverty and discrimination in a harsh climate, she raises her son in her own traditions. This feature film is in English and Inuktitut languages.
Vi, you could do amazing things for your people, but you need to cut out all these distractions.
I know what I'm capable of, but you just won't listen to me.
Vi is a coming-of-age story of a woman from the Pacific Islands. Each one of Vi's life stages, from childhood to deep old age, is told by a different filmmaker and from a distinct Pacific Island culture. Bet Sarahanga is one of eight female directors who collaborated on the movie.
So the idea is that, you know, she does, it is this woman who comes from all these different places. So, you know, she is that woman, but then she's all of us.
Arahanga says all eight filmmakers were born in New Zealand and have strong indigenous roots. Vi showcases a variety of South Pacific languages.
An indigenous leader from Colombia recently said, "The language is the territory speaking." So languages come from a certain place, from a certain positionality towards the world, and bring you a window into that particular space.
Penelope Pulu, VOA News, Washington.
Here's this news break from VOA Asia. Iranian state TV says the new coronavirus outbreak has killed another 97 people, pushing the death toll in that country to 611 amid almost 13,000 confirmed cases. Iran is suffering from the worst outbreak in the Middle East. This is VOA Asia. Street food is popular in the Middle East and in East Asia, but in the United States, restaurants are more common. However, a recent trend is sweeping this country, and in particular in Washington, D.C., where food trucks, basically restaurants on wheels, are becoming very popular and offer dishes from around the world. VOA's Asaullah Khalid gives us a tour of this booming industry.
Opening a restaurant can cost hundreds of thousands of dollars in the United States. But starting a food truck business can cost as low as $30,000. Low cost means more food trucks, and that translates to more choices for customers.
They offer so many options, even Mediterranean offers. And sometimes you can get halal hot dogs as well.
People enjoy going to a location and having that choice. It's been driven by the fast casual industry where choice is the big thing in food nowadays. And it's the same thing for food trucks. People would love coming to a location where they have a different choice. They have a different choice every day as well on top of that. And that's what really keeps them fresh and unique, I think.
Hi, can I have a gyros box, chicken gyro?
But unlike a traditional restaurant, food truck customers expect fast services, and speed is the name of the game.
Over here, people are short of time. They need fresh food and in time, because they have 30-minute breaks, so you have to make sure it's worth their time.
And much like restaurants, picking the right location can mean profits.
Like, it's very hard for you to find a location to work. Like, today I'm in Lafont Plaza. This is lottery. I pay to work here. But
the process of getting a food truck license is cumbersome. First, you have to apply to get your license through the city's Consumer and Regulatory Affairs Department, and then pass the health inspection.
We do inspections for all the food trucks. So every 6 months, the food truck is required to get a re-inspection to renew their health inspection certificate. And we also do routine inspections in the field that are random and unannounced.
But running a successful food truck depends mainly on how good the actual food is. That's how our food truck attract customers and create a base.
My favorites are Mediterranean food, Arab food. Sometimes I even get desi biryani as well. So there are mixed options.
Not everyone is thrilled about the rise of the food trucks. Many local restaurants say food trucks are literally eating into their profits. Asadullah Khalid, VOA News, Washington.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Have yourself a marvelous day.